A few weeks back, I had the opportunity to make my annual retreat. And so on a Saturday morning, I headed out and drove down to Clear Creek Abbey, which is a Benedictine monastery in Oklahoma, basically in the middle of nowhere. After I got off of Interstate 44, I was driving for quite a while on gravel roads and finally pulled up into the gravel parking lot of the monastery, looking forward to a simple time of silence and prayer with the Benedictine monks there for the week ahead, and pulled out my cell phone to send just one or two last text messages before turning it off for the week. I looked up into the upper left-hand corner of the phone, where it always tells you how many bars you have and what kind of internet reception you have, and instead of that I saw two words, no service. And a big smile came across my face, because that was precisely what I wanted for the week. And the phone went off, and I went into that time of silence for the week with no service from my cell phone, which I think, in a way, is for us modern 21st century Americans, the desert. Is it not? We're so used to constant communication, being in touch at every moment, and to have no service is to be in the middle of the desert. For what was it that Christ went into the desert for those 40 days at the beginning of his public ministry? He was looking for a place of silence and solitude, the desert, is a place where we are alone with ourselves and with God. And this is how he begins his public ministry. He's just been baptized by St. John the Baptist in the Jordan River. And now as he embarks on his mission of preaching and healing and calling to conversion, he desires first to commune with his Father in the silence and the solitude of the desert. You know, we Christians are called to follow the example of Christ, and he desires to teach us on this first Sunday of Lent about our need to find the desert in our own lives. Our need for silence and solitude. If we never find the desert in our own life, the danger is that we'll just live on the surface of things. But it's when we step aside and find time to be alone with ourselves and with God that, in a sense, we're forced to look deeper. We're forced to come face to face with ourselves. And it is in the silence, in the most particular way, that we meet the Lord. St. John of the Cross, the great Carmelite mystic, said famously, "Silence is the first language of God." It always interests me that St. John of the Cross didn't say that God speaks in the silence, that we need the silence to hear God's voice. No, he says silence is the language of God. Just as you and I speak English to communicate with one another, God speaks silence, which is why we need it in our life. And silence, especially in our own day and age, is more than just a lack of audible noise. But it's time away from that constant bombardment of the noise of emails and text messages and Facebook updates and Twitter feeds. We need that regularly in our life. Daily, I would even say. Time, even if it's only a small amount of time that we can give, to seek our Lord in silence and solitude in the desert. And in this Lenten season, the church always begins this first Sunday of Lent with this gospel reading. Because Lent, in a particular way, is an invitation into the desert. To simplify, to turn off some of those things that distract us. That's why we fast, we give things up, so that we can be more attentive to God speaking his language of silence. But there's also a warning in our Lord's journey into the desert that God is not the only one who speaks to us in the silence and solitude. Other voices are there as well. Our own racing thoughts, and even the voice of the tempter, the evil one, Satan, whose desire is to keep us from communion with our Heavenly Father. And we have to learn to discern, to distinguish those voices, those movements in our hearts. And if we meditate a bit on how Satan tempted Christ in the desert, and even how he tempted Adam and Eve, as we heard in the first reading, we learn how to make this discernment. You see, Satan is not very creative. And although he comes in different guises, his temptation fundamentally is always the same. How did he preface his first two temptations to Christ in the desert? If you are the Son of God, if you are. You see, his desire is to get our Lord Jesus Christ to doubt his identity, who he is, that he is indeed the Son of God. And at the same time, to doubt that God then is a father, that God cares for him and provides for him. And that's precisely what he did with Eve in the garden. Did God really tell you not to eat from any tree? You see, God is not a father to you. He doesn't want what's good, what's going to make you happy. He's keeping things from you. He said you can't eat that fruit. And if you really want to be happy, you have to go for it yourself. Because God is not a father. He doesn't care about you. That's the temptation of Satan. And when we go into the desert, if we start to find ourselves worried and anxious about all those different things in our life that could destroy us, that's the tempter. Getting us to focus on our fears and worries and anxieties instead of placing our trust in God as a father, who will take care of us and provide for our every need. It's that relationship of filial trust, the trust of a son or a daughter, that God desires to strengthen in us through our time with him in the desert. How did Christ conquer the tempter? As Adam and Eve couldn't. He was firmly convinced, utterly convicted, that he was the Son of God, that God was his Father, and no temptation from any other voice was going to cause him to doubt that truth. Even if it seemed like God was distant, he was hungry, he'd been fasting for 40 days, nevertheless, he insisted, he trusted, he would not take away that trust. He would not doubt. That's the invitation to us. To take that time every day in the desert. To commune with God who is a Father. Who cares for us in his providence. To even allow him to deepen and strengthen our faith through trials. Through temptation. At the beginning of Lent, the Church invites us through these readings to consider how do we need to make some changes in order to find that desert time? What noise do we need to reduce in our lives to seek our Lord in the desert? Let's make a commitment at the beginning of this holy season to do just that. And as he offers us the gift of his own body, blood, soul, and divinity here, let's draw from him the grace, the strength, to seek him daily in the desert. For God indeed will provide for our every need, just as the angels ministered to Jesus after he sent the devil away. So too, we can be confident as sons and daughters of God that he is a father who cares for our needs and desires to draw us closer to his heart. Saint Gerard Majella, pray for us.